let's stand as we read Matthew 6. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Father, now we pray you open our hearts and you open our minds. And Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit continue to work in us something new. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Have a seat. Jerry Sister, in his book, The Will of God as a Way of Life, attempted to estimate how much time we take doing tasks that we view as mundane. And so he figured if a person lived to 80, that person would have lived 29,200 days or 700,800 hours. So, person living to 80, this is what he figured out. Here's the breakdown of how we spend our life. We spend at least 2,000 hours. We spend at least 204,400 hours sleeping. Now, that's based on if you get 7 hours of sleep every day. So, go with that. He figures you spend 43,800 hours eating, 58,400 hours doing chores, 14,600 hours riding in a car, and 87,600 hours doing routine work things, whatever that is for you. Now, I know that these can probably be conservative, and he actually concedes that in this writing, that these numbers may be conservative. But when you think about it, and when you look at it, and if it's 700,800 hours of life that we have on this earth, we spend about half our life doing what we would consider mundane, mind-numbing tasks. Now, think about that. Half our life spent doing these things. So it's no wonder we try to cut corners on things, is it not? I mean, when I try to get my son to brush his teeth, it's a task. When I take him to brush his teeth is when I get criticism from my wife and daughter because we do it in about 30 seconds. And I'm reminded that it should take longer than that, and I tell them, you're just not as efficient as I am. It could be that I just prefer to get him to bed. But if you look at this, it's no wonder why we cut corners. If we have to spend this much time doing mundane tasks, that means we have half our life left, so it's no wonder that we worry. It's no wonder that we cut corners, and it's no wonder why we try to take control of things. If we think that half our life is wasted on meaningless things, then we are always in this tendency to want to rush, to want to move forward, to want to get the next thing done. We want to maximize our day. It's why we've created, and maybe you've noticed this, it's why we've created terms for days. So we have like transformational Tuesday, motivational Monday, winning Wednesday. I mean, we have all of these things we want to talk about. What does it look like to seize the day? Who in here ever seen Dead Poets Society? The minute we heard Carpe Diem, everyone wanted to seize the day, right? It's no wonder why we do these things when we think that half our life is spent doing meaningless things. And if that's the case, then we want to prioritize. We want to prioritize our time. We want to prioritize our money, and we even want to prioritize people. which people are more important than other people, because I only have half my life to figure out what's most important. So it's no wonder we do all of these things. We have to prioritize, mainly because there's this fear that we might not get something. We have to prioritize because there's a fear that we might not get the promotion if we don't do this. There's a fear that if we don't prioritize or do something, then we're not going to get all the stuff that we need to look good for everyone else who looks at us. So we have to do this. We have to run faster. We have to run harder. We have to be fiercer in life. Because if we're not, we'll get left behind. And if that's our perspective on things, if that's how we see our life, if that's how we see life, then that's how we're going to live it. Some people are going to get pushed to the side. Some task we're just not going to do. Or we're going to be a little bit more efficient with it. Or we're going to sit with you, but we're really not going to listen to you because it's really a waste of my time, and I'm just trying to get through it to get to the next thing. If we think and our perspective on life is, I've only got half my life to live. And see, that's the thing about perspective. Because perspective is how we see things, how we see the world. And let's be more specific, how we see our world. Because that's what we want to really believe, is that this world is our world, we're the center of it, and everything else is rotating around it, that everyone needs to follow what I'm doing. One of my favorite quotes to say to people as they're talking to me, as they're telling me their day and telling me what's going on with their life, I look at them and I say, hey, look, I'm just a squirrel, just living in the world, trying to find it. Because all it is, have you ever sat with someone, if you really sit with someone and listen to them, you can really hear the priorities in their life. Have you noticed that? You can really hear what's most important. You can really hear what their perspective is if you sit and listen to them. And that's one thing, if we sit and listen to someone else. But as we've looked at this series, there's been that other side of it, because in the first week we talked about what it would do, what it would mean for us to sit and be quiet. What it would mean for us in that second week to find rest. And last week, what it would mean to let go. But if we think about those first two things again, this idea of being quiet and finding rest, those are still pretty scary to us. Because if we honestly do that and we listen to ourselves, I wonder what perspective we would hear that we have on life. If we really sit and listen to our inner voice, and we listen to what's most important to us and how we prioritize things, I wonder what you would hear. Be honest with yourself. What would you hear if you sat and was quiet? Found some rest and listened to your own self? It's probably why we're afraid to do it, why we don't talk about it, why it always sounds like a good idea, because running is easier than stopping, noise is more soothing than being quiet, holding tightly to our things is a lot easier than letting it go, which is contrary to the passage that we just read in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, the passage that we all know, right? Starting in verse 25, we've read this passage over and over and over. We know it like the back of our hand. But when we really read it and we really look at our own perspective on life, what I think we realize when we read it is this, that our perspective is a little bit out of sync with what Jesus' perspective on life is. Instead, we've exchanged what Jesus says about life for what the world tells us life should be. We've exchanged this idea that Jesus says, and maybe you heard it that And we'll look at it here in a minute, this refrain of do not worry. But instead, we've exchanged the idea of do not worry with the lie that says you are the center of the world, you are in control, and if you just attain certain things, then everything will be good and you will be fine. But when we look at what Jesus says, when we look at what Jesus tells us, Jesus says this in Matthew 6. He says, if you want to find refreshment, if you want to be refreshed, then here's what I'm going to ask you. I'm going to ask you, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Letting go, we talked about last week, letting go is one thing. Being able to let go is one thing. But we can only let go if we trust the one who we're letting ourselves go to. The only way we can truly let go is if we trust in the saving power of God. If we trust that God is the one who will take care of us. And it's probably why letting go is so hard, because we have to trust that God is in control. And that's a difficult thing for us, especially for us who live in America, and it's all about individuality, and it's all about picking your own self up by your bootstraps. It's all about you, all of those things. That's a hard mantra to get behind, is I'm going to trust that God is in control. I would rather trust myself that I'm in control before I trust that God is in control. So we have to actually start, if we're going to look at this passage, we have to actually start in the verse before, in Matthew 6, 24, because in Matthew 6, 24, right before verse 25, and he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry, he says this, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve, and we have serve a lot in most of your translations. The better translation would probably be, we cannot be a slave to both God and money. We can't be, in other translations, both God and mammon. But notice that. You cannot be a slave to. So Jesus says this. He says, your heart will either trust yourself and your power to save yourself, or in the saving power of God. Now, on a quick glance, when we get from here to verse 25, of course we'll say God. Of course we'll say, yes, I trust God. But do we really? I mean, if you're really honest, if you really sit and be quiet with yourself like we've asked you to, if you really take some rest, will you find that your life trusts God? Or it's easy to say you trust God, but who are you letting yourself go to? Are you letting yourself go to yourself? You'll tell others it's God, but really, you, when push comes to shove, you'll trust yourself before you trust God. God is always the easy answer, but God is the hard answer. Jesus says, when you let go into the saving arms of the Father, you find freedom to live life. And Jesus, in this passage in Matthew 6, is actually offering us a different perspective, a different way of looking at things, a different way of trusting. And Jesus says this, here's how you do it. He says, imagine a world where you no longer have to be preoccupied or worry about the trivial things. Imagine for yourself, if you can look at a world in which you see it and realize the gift of God in everything going on. From the birds, to the grass, to the flowers. By the way, basic things that you see probably every day when you're driving and you notice, but do you really see them as a gift of God? And Jesus says, imagine what it would look like if you didn't worry about the trivial things. Now, I know some of us in here right now may say, well, Jesus, you don't really understand the trivial things, right? You don't understand what it takes for me to eat. You don't understand what it takes for me to have something. You don't understand what it means for me to have a roof over my head. These aren't trivial matters, Lord. I've got to do these things in order to support my family and to support myself. And yet, we can't help but see over and over again in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, this refrain, do not worry. For Jesus, this stuff seems to be trivial, seems to be the gifts of God that we have decided are not gifts of God because we've decided that God is not in control, that we're in control. But Jesus says, do not worry about those things. Imagine that for a second. What would it be like for you to not worry? What would it be like for you to be able to go a day without worry? Without worry about food, without worry about where you're going to sleep. What would it be for you to go a day without worry? That seems like a pretty refreshing idea right there for me. To not worry about what's coming next. To not worry about this, that, or the other. Because, see, when we worry is when we prioritize, and when certain people get pushed to the side, when certain things get pushed to the side, when we worry, we tend to not see things as important when they should be. Things like time spent with friends, dinner at the family table, how about practice with your kids? Reading a good book, conversation with your spouse, helping with homework, going for a run, or just going for a walk. How about teaching your kids how to mow the lawn, lying in bed with your spouse just a few minutes longer, lying in bed with your kids or your grandkids just a few minutes longer, sitting with a coworker and listening to their story, eating with a coworker, leaving work early just because you can. Or how about just picking the kids up from school? Now, if it's a life without worry, if it's a life with trust in God, if it's a life that says I can let go because I believe and I trust the one who will catch me, then what Jesus says is you can look at life as a gift. And you can even look at the things that you don't think you have time for, because I've only got half my life, Lord. Jesus says, you don't have half your life. You have your whole life. Each thing you do is a gift from God to you. Therefore, do not worry about what you will eat or drink, is what Jesus says. And I think in his book later on, Jerry Sitzer had it right when he says this, perhaps we are looking for pleasure in all the wrong places. Or maybe better, how the country singer Johnny Lee said it. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for love in too many places. And if you're an SNL fan, you know that Eddie Murphy did it a little bit more funnier that way. But maybe it's right. Maybe our perspective has gotten a little off. Our perspective on life, how we look at pleasure and success, have a way of changing. If we can just let go and we can trust in God's goodness. It is in God's goodness that Jesus says our needs are taken care of. When we can trust God's goodness, when we can see God's grace in our life, then we actually experience life differently. We hold on to things differently. Our soul can be quieted even in the storms. Imagine a day in your life when the refrain of Jesus, do not worry, becomes a reality. Imagine a day when you enjoy life, not for what you can, but for just living with others. When you realize that when you live into this life of God, that being with others is a gift from God. And Jesus is not saying that this is pie in the sky. Jesus is not saying that this life is Pollyanna. No, what Jesus is saying is what John says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that Jesus has come that you may live life abundantly. So you may live life to the fullest. Imagine living life to the fullest, which means every part of life becomes a gift. Every part of life matters, not just certain parts, but every part. Even the moments when your kid is complaining to you is a gift. Why? Because I'm getting to hear them and sit with them and be with them, even when it's hard. Family coming from Kansas becomes a gift, right? Being able to prepare a meal and sit with them here in about an hour, which I don't get to do all that much, becomes a gift, not a drain on time. It's in the perspective of how we look. It's being able to trust that what God is doing is good. When we can trust in God, trust that God is not a God who has taken his hands off the steering wheel and looked at us and said, good luck. When we can trust that God didn't wind up the earth and then take a holiday for a little while, trust that God is the God who from the beginning of time keeps his promises to creation, then we can live a life that says everything matters. We can be attentive to all the parts of life. Everything will be different. We will not say this, and I bet you've said this because I know I've said this. When I get older or when I get all of these things placed just in the right spot, then I'll give God the time. When we're willing to trust God, when we're willing to change our perspective, when we're willing to see God has given our life as a gift and everything in front of us is a gift from God, is a grace from God, then we no longer have to say that because God is working in our lives and through our lives for us. And in the end, Jesus is not calling you to be a passive Christian in this. In fact, what Jesus is saying is the exact opposite. Jesus is saying this is not passive Christianity. This is advanced Christianity. It's living a life in which you're always going to be active in your life. When we trust God knows all the things that we need, then we are free to live in every moment. So, brushing your teeth becomes a gift from God. Picking up your kid at school becomes a gift from God. Spending time outside becomes a gift from God. Practicing with your kid becomes a gift from God. Sitting next to somebody in this room today becomes a gift from God. Not just something you have to do, but something God wants you to do, to be a part of, to learn from, to see what's going on. If we can live life that way, if we can live life with a perspective that says, God is for us, God is working in us, God is doing everything towards us, and God is working through us, then life becomes different. It almost becomes refreshing. Now you don't look at half your life being wasted. You look at the totality of your life. You don't miss moments. How many times have you thought to yourself, I missed that moment? I'm asking you today to quit missing the moments. The words of Jesus are what we need to hear today. In a world that's always rushing, in a world that's always moving, in a world that's always pushing us to get ahead, Jesus says, do not worry about those things. Instead, see life through my eyes. As Brendan Burns says it, he says it this way, those who give radical priority to the kingdom, those who trust in God, will experience so many ordinary things as gifts of a loving God. Live your life the best you can by trusting and doing God's will. And if you do, then God will give you a new, refreshing perspective on life. Joy will be found in all things and in all times. Have you ever wondered why Paul could be joyful in the suffering as much as he could be joyful in the? It's a perspective on life. When even in the suffering can be a gift from God in some way towards others. Joy can be found in all things at all times. And whether you're brushing your teeth or taking your kids to school, it's all a beautiful gift of God. So therefore, life is a gift. Live it as a gift. And then be a gift to all you encounter. If you have a need this morning, come now as we stand and as we sing.